Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 11, the Word of God says, "And he said," that is, Jesus said, "a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." Verse 17 says, "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." If correctly read, that's Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24. The main thought that's on my heart this morning is that there are more blessings to be found in a good home than we can ever begin to realize. I thank God that in His wisdom that He established a man should not live alone, that he should be with his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And the Word of God describes how wonderful it is when a husband loves his wife, and a wife loves her husband, and the parents love the children, and the children honor their parents. The Word of God describes a lot of things that are part of a good home. Some of the things I want us to look at this morning are some of the characteristics that are necessary in order to have a good home. First of all, this son that had left his father's house, he had left his home. After he got away and he lost all of his money that he had taken with him, the Word of God describes how hungry he was. And the Word of God says in verse 16, "And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." I believe that one of the blessings of a good home is good food. Good food. Now, that may seem like a strange thing to begin with, but that was the number one thing that helped bring this son to his senses, is that he was so hungry and that he could not find food out there in the world that would sustain him. And so after a while, the scripture says that he came to himself as he was so hungry. Verse 17 says, "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare?'" A good home is going to have plenty of food. Even during the Depression, there were in every home where the people worked and where the people did all that they could do, they might not have had a great variety of food, but they had enough food. And this prodigal son did not have enough food because he had left the protection and the blessings of his home. One of the main things when I think of my mother is I think of her good cooking. And most anybody in here that is over 50 years old, one of the things you remember about your home is the good cooking that your mother always did. I don't remember as a child, I don't remember us ever going out to a fast food restaurant. I think the first time that I ever went out to a fast food restaurant was when I was in high school. My senior year of high school was about the first time that I ever went out for food like that. But I want to encourage every wife, every mother that's here today, I want to encourage you that you would begin to cook good meals in your home. Part of the blessings of a home, part of the blessings of a good home is good meals. When the Word of God describes the virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31, when the Word of God describes a virtuous woman, one of the things that it emphasizes is that she arose early in the morning before it was yet day to prepare the meat for her family and for her household. There are women here that they do that. They get up early in the morning and they prepare a good breakfast for their families. As we talk about a good natural home, as we talk about a good natural family, I want us to also know that everything that makes a good natural home makes a good spiritual home. When I talk about the spiritual home, I'm talking about the church. I believe with all of my heart that one of the greatest needs in the church today is not so much quick food or fast food, but there needs to be more real food from God's Word. I believe with all of my heart that the Word of God is food for the soul of God's people. And I believe that one of the greatest needs in churches today is that there needs to be more preaching of the Word of God. There needs to be less frills and more basics that are necessary for the health of the people of God. You'll back up one page. You'll find that in Luke chapter 14 that there was a man who prepared a great supper. And he's talking about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. He is also talking about the church. In Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 15, I want you to see that there is a parallel between that prodigal son who was so hungry that he came to himself. And he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And when he got home, his father killed the fatted calf and prepared a great meal for him. Likewise, I believe that in the church of Jesus Christ, there needs to be and there must be and there will be in the true church, there will be food from God's holy word. You'll look in Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 15. The Word of God says, and when one of them that sat at meat with him, that is with Jesus, heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, that is Jesus said unto that man, he says, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. You're going to see that this is talking about the house of God and the food that needs to be prepared for the people of God in the house of God. I believe that there is a sense in which I am a cook for the church. I believe that it is my responsibility to ask God what He would have us to study. I am to work and labor and study the Word of God and then come and try to preach what God has put on my heart. Now I want you to know that when people in the old homes, when they used to cook, it took hours to prepare one meal. Usually now when my mother knows that we're coming, she'll start one or two or 3 days ahead of time and start cooking and preparing the meal. I believe that every preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he must continuously be cooking and preparing the Word of God for the people of God. And sometimes it's after food has been simmering for a long time. Sometimes it's after a preacher has had a portion of God's Word on his heart for a long time. Sometimes it's after a preacher has had the pressure cooker on for a long period of time on a particular passage of Scripture, and he's able to tenderize the meat, and he's able then to feed the flock of God. It is then that the people of God become stronger and become healthier as they hear the Word of the Lord. I do not believe it is my responsibility to stand here and to tell jokes or to tell you things that are going to just make you laugh or make you feel good, not just feel good. I'll tell you, there is some of the food in God's Word that will make you feel good. There are some foods that I like. There are some foods I don't like. But when I was growing up, we had to eat good food whether we liked the food or not. One of the worst things I ever remember eating was liver, cooked liver. We also had tripe. We had a lot of other things when I was growing up. It was food that I did not like, but it was food that my parents said, this is good for you and you will eat it. Likewise, in the church of God, in the church of Jesus Christ, there's some of the food that's like dessert. It's food that is wonderful. It's food that is sweet. It's food that as soon as you begin to taste of it, you think, this is the most wonderful that I've ever had in all of my life. There's other portions of the Word of God. There are portions of the Word of God that are not nearly as tasteful as others, but they are necessary for our good health. In fact, part of the Word of God is not just food for our soul, but sometimes we need medicine for our soul. And the Word of God is all that we need in the house of God. The house of God should be filled with the preaching of the Word of God. It's food for the people of God. And so it is in Luke chapter 14 and verse 16. The Word of God says, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. I believe this certain man represents our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It represents God Himself. He is the one that prepares the food. Did you know that I can read and study the Word of God? I can spend from Sunday night until the next Sunday morning reading and studying the Word of God. I can look at it. I can try to study it. But without the presence of the Spirit of God, I cannot preach the Word of God. I can do everything that I know to do and still not be able to preach the Word of God. It is only God that does the actual feeding of the people of God. I, in a sense, feed, but it is God who is the source of the food. So a man made a great supper and bade many. Let me tell you something, brethren. It's important that the house of God be full of people. We ought to be inviting people to come to the house of God. And the primary, I believe that there are four or five primary things found in the house of God. One of them is the people of God need to be singing songs of praise. We need to be praying together as we come together in the house of God. We need to be hearing the preaching of God's Word. We need to be worshiping God. And we also need to be fellowshipping one another. I believe the love of the brethren and fellowshipping, which we're going to get to in just a moment, is very important. But the most important thing is fellowship with God and not just fellowship with each other. And if God is not the center of the worship service, if the people are the center, or if somebody putting on a performance is the center of the worship service. If people are getting glory rather than God getting glory, then it's not pleasing to God. We need spiritual food. This man made a great supper. Verse 17 says, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Had a great meal been prepared? Had a great meal been prepared? A wonderful meal. God prepared that meal. The sad thing is that after God had prepared that great meal, one by one, the people began to make excuses about why they couldn't be there for the food that God had prepared for them. That same thing is happening more and more in our society today and in the churches today. Over and over and over, the people of God are beginning to find more and more excuses about why they can't be in the Lord's house to get the food that God has prepared for them. And as the people of God began to make excuse, one excuse after another, God began to send them out to others, for others to come in to get the food that God was preparing for them. Brethren, it's offensive to God for Him to prepare a great supper and then the people of God make excuses about why they can't be there for the food that God has prepared. Come down to verse 24. After these people began to make excuses and they finally went out into the highways and byways and bid others to come and there was still room. Verse 23. In Luke 14, verse 23, the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. And verse 24 says, for I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Brethren, the people of God, when they begin to and continue to make excuses about why they can't be in God's house, God will eventually cut them off and they will not be able to eat and partake of the Word of God. God will stop feeding His people. There are people who don't think that God will do that, but you can't read the Word of God and not see that God sometimes will stop feeding His people. You go home and read in the book of Amos, and you'll find that God was going to send a famine in the land. And it was not going to be a famine of eating and drinking, but it was going to be a famine of hearing the Word of God. And there is a famine in America today. There's a famine of hearing the Word of God. And the reason there's a famine is because the people of God have made so many excuses about why they're not coming to get the food that God prepared for them. Can you imagine my mother making a great meal, preparing a great meal, and then me not showing up for that meal? Can you imagine that, Brother David? If you and your mother had an appointment, which y'all do most every Thursday, and y'all had made an appointment and you knew she was going to cook supper for you, and then you called up, and you knew she was cooking supper for you now, you called her up about Thursday afternoon and said, Mom, I'm going to stop by Burger King down the road and get me a hamburger. I'm going to substitute something else. I don't really need your food. And I won't be there for supper. I've got something else I need to do. How would your mother feel, Brother David?
Break her heart.
Yes, it would break her heart. And God is not pleased. You read this passage of Scripture and you'll find that as God has prepared His meals, and the people of God make excuses about why they can't come and feed on the Word of God, God is not pleased with those people. Go with me to Acts chapter 20. I want you to understand that just as God made that supper, you remember that the Corinthian letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, says that we are laborers together with God. We are laborers together with God. Who feeds you when you come to the house of God? God is the main source of the feed. And yet, God has told me to feed the flock of God. He is the one. I can't feed you without God helping me. You can't even feed on the Word of God, even if I'm up here preaching in the Spirit and in the power and demonstration of God. You can't feed on the Word of God unless God blesses you to get the food. You ever been to the house of God, you didn't get anything out of it? Could have been the preacher didn't feed. It could have been you were not going to be allowed to be fed because God's not going to feed you. In Acts chapter 20, Listen, beginning in verse 25. Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 25. In Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 25, the Word of God says, "And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone, preaching the kingdom of God." What had Paul been preaching about? He had been preaching about the kingdom of God. Brethren, if you study the Word of God, you'll find that every single preacher in the New Testament, every one of them, preached about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. And Paul says, "Now, I've gone everywhere, gone preaching the kingdom of God. I know that you'll see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." Why was he pure from the blood of all men? Because he had not failed to preach the whole counsel of God's Word. He had invited them to the supper. And when they came to the supper, and they said, "I don't want that portion of meat. I don't want the liver. I don't want the green vegetables. All I want is the dessert." You think Paul said, "Okay, well, all I'll give you is dessert." No, Paul preached the whole counsel of God's Word. He didn't back up. He didn't hold back. Look at what the Word of God says in verse 27. He says, "I'm pure from the blood of all men. I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Now that's what Paul is saying to the elders of the churches at Ephesus. And I want you to listen to verse 28 now. He says to those elders, he says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." What was Paul? What had Paul been doing? He had been feeding the flock of God. What does he tell the elders as he's about to leave and no longer be with them? He says, I'm telling you and I'm exhorting you, feed the flock of God. Without spiritual food, the flock of God will perish. They need the food from God's holy word. All through the scriptures, you remember what Jesus told Peter? "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And if you love me, you feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. If you love me, feed the people of God." So to the mamas here this morning, I'm saying, if you love your family, you feed them. You feed them good. You give them some precious memories about what good food is all about. You take time. You make some sacrifices. And you spend every day. And let me tell you something, brethren. The most important part of eating in my home when I was growing up was not the food. The most important part of eating in our home was the family sitting around the table every morning for breakfast. We always sat together for breakfast, and we always sat together at night. This idea of plopping down in front of a television, we only got to watch it. The only time we got to watch television, for the most part, was 1 hour a week. Sunday night after church, we had a little program called Bonanza. We would watch Bonanza as a family. Brethren, I'm going to just jump to another subject that's necessary for a happy home, and that is simplicity. Simplicity. I want to jump to that. There's a lot more that I want us to look at. But right now, I just want to jump to simplicity. You know, one of the biggest problems we have in homes today is that there's too much going on. There's too much busyness in the home. There are too many activities going on in our lives. The home it's not a place where we spend much time anymore. The home is not what it ought to be. We need some simplicity in our lives. We need some simplicity in the home. We need some simplicity in the church home. Let me get you to look at that very quickly. Look in your Bibles at 2 Corinthians, I believe. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, there it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The first thing that we've talked about is we need food in the home, but we need some simplicity in the home. I want to ask everybody here to spend at least 1 hour with your family every night. Just spend 1 hour. I don't care if you sit around and you play Scrabble. I don't care what you do. You need 1 hour, at least 1 hour. Just sit around with your family. Slow down. Slow down. Have some intimate time with your family every day. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Did you know the church sometimes gets too busy too? We can have all kinds of activities. Just going, 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 going. We need some simplicity. Did you know that even a worship service can be full of all kinds of things to entertain the people? And we need simplicity. Simplicity in the worship service. Singing, praying, preaching. That's all that we need in the house of God. We don't need entertaining. I've had a lot of people that would say, Brother Mullis, we would like to come and perform at the church. We would like to come and sing specials for the church. We want to come and sing a solo. Listen, brethren, we have very little special singing in this church, and the reason is we need simplicity in worship. And we don't want to worship people, and we don't want people to entertain us. We want to worship God. You need simplicity to worship God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 2, the Apostle Paul writes to the church of God at Corinth, and he says, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband." The church was espoused to one husband. Who was the husband of the church? Jesus Christ. "That I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Can our minds be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ? Can we begin to add frills and things and think, "Oh, this is better. This might draw some more people. We might entertain more people. We've got to compete with other churches that entertain." Listen, brethren, I don't want to compete with the world. The church is not in competition with the world. The church is far above the world. And there's nothing worldly that you can bring into the church that is ever going to help the church of Jesus Christ. We need singing, we need praying, we need preaching. May God help us to perfect the homes that we have here so that we can have a happy home, is my prayer for Christ's sake. Amen.